Good morning. There are three different readings this morning: Hebrews, Philippians, and then 2 Corinthians. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. And Philippians chapter 1. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. And the third reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore we are always confident, and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad.
This, St. Andrew's, is God's word. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, as we come to your word this morning, we ask that, Lord, that by your Spirit, it would not just go into our head as head knowledge, but through a quickening that only your Spirit can do, it would be sharpened to our lives. I pray for those who, by whatever misfortune, have never heard of this elementary teaching of the intermediate state, that today would be a revelation for them. And for those who are aware of what happens when we die and the nature of the resurrected body, that these truths will be refreshing, they would be sharpened by your Spirit, and that, Lord, there would be fruit from this message this morning to the glory and honour of your name alone. Amen. So over the next few weeks, in the time between our finishing of part one of the summer series on the Sermon on the Mount And before we start with our winter series on Romans part 3, we're going to do a few one-offs partly reflecting on Catherine, though not directly relating to her, but some things that I've been pondering. And also just a chance to do a few one-offs on different topics that it can be themed. So I'm blessed to be able to get passages from all over the Bible and just put them in. So this morning, you're going to have a lot of scripture showing it. Are you ready for that? All right, so sometimes I just have one text and we get into that. Well, this time we're going all over the show. So I sometimes that can be overwhelming if you've not had a lot of scripture, but I want you really to persevere with me as we go through this. We're looking really at the intermediate state. We're looking at the resurrection of the body. It's part of the elementary teachings of Christ. Two, what is the intermediate state and what happens to the believer during the intermediate state? And the ultimate hope of the resurrection. All right, so that first text in Hebrews talks about a whole bunch of elementary teachings. It talks about cleansing rites, laying of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. The cleansing rites, remember, it's the book of Hebrews. It was talking about the Mosaic law and introducing to those Jewish believers that didn't have to worry so much about the ceremonial stuff of the Mosaic law. But is included with basic 101 teaching that every Christian who knows Jesus Christ should know is the resurrection of the dead and what happens when we die. So Christians believe that Jesus' bones are not located in Israel or anywhere else on planet Earth. Lloyd Gehring is wrong on his view on that. That Jesus' body was resurrected on the third day, seen by hundreds, and then ascended into heaven. And his resurrection is the first fruits of your and my resurrection. That is, one day everyone will be resurrected, some to everlasting life, and others to what the Bible calls the second death. Now, because of the law of the matter conservation, what that means is that the atoms of every human that's ever existed in the past and the atoms of every human that exists in the future are already here. And on the resurrection day, whether someone has even scattered their ashes and atoms right around the planet, somehow, some way, God will take the seed of their body and their body will be resurrected either to life or to death. Now, here are some passages to refresh us with this basic Christian belief. But your dead will live, their bodies will rise. Those who live in the dust, those bodies that are dust, will wake up and shout for joy. For your dew is like the dew of heaven, and the earth will give birth to the dead. Daniel 12:2. Many of those who sleep in the dust will on the ground will awake. These to everlasting life, but to others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. And John 5. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all those who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. And 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. And Revelation 20, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the deeds which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, and every one of them, according to their deeds. So this resurrection of the dead will happen at the end of the end. And they're talking about there of the deeds. We are saved by grace, but make no mistake, what we do in this life will matter. So for those who have not had their deeds forgiven by Jesus Christ, they will be judged by what their deeds do. So Sodom and Gomorrah will get it easier on Judgment Day than some other cities. So the deeds that we do in this life matters. If you do not repent, the actions you do will matter. And if you do repent and you're saved by grace, the good deeds that you do through faith in Jesus Christ will matter too on Judgment Day. But ultimately, there will be two groups, those that are saved and forgiven in Jesus Christ and those who are not. And those two will be the separating of the goats and the sheep. So this resurrection of the dead will happen at the end of the end. This is a passage in Revelation. Now, whatever your view on the end times events, the key truth here is clear. that all except the end time saints, every dead except the last generation will be resurrected at the end of the end. All right, let's read this out. They came back to life, that is the end time saints, that's my words there, and ruled with the Messiah for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead, all right, so if I died today, that would include me, the rest of the dead did not come back to life until the 1,000 years were over. This is the first resurrection. How blessed and holy are those who participate in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. They will be priests of God and Messiah and will rule with him for 1,000 years. I'm not doing a sermon on the 1,000-year reign. That would be a great sermon to do, but I'm not doing it this morning. What we just want to focus in on here is that the resurrection of the dead will happen right at the end. All right? So then there's a question. What happens to the believer, what happens, say, to Catherine, say, for example, between the time she dies and the time of the last trumpet when the dead are raised to life? What happens in the intermediate state? Are you guys with me? All right, you're following me. All right, what happens? All right, so let's have a look. All right, so the first one is the resurrection of the body is part of the elementary teachings of Christ. You need to know this if you are a Christian. This should be absolutely vital to know. The next thing is, what is the intermediate state of what happens to the believer during the intermediate state? The intermediate state is what happens to the Christian between the time that they die and the final resurrection, right? Except those who are the end time saints. Now, I'm mostly dealing with believers today, not those who reject Christ or have never heard. Great questions. But if you read the passages of Scripture, you can figure out what happens to those who don't believe in the intermediate state pretty clearly from the texts that are there. But I'm focusing really on the believers this morning. So there's two views on what's going to happen to you when you die between the time that you die and the final trumpet that is blown and the resurrection of the dead. There's the minority view, which I disagree with, and the majority view, what most Christians have held, which I agree with. The minority view is that your souls sleep between the time that you die and the time of the final trumpet. The Seventh-day Adventists believe that, and actually there's a number of Christians of different denominations. I've got some friends who are soul sleepers. You know, that's okay, they can be wrong. But this is the text here that they use. And the reason I'm doing this is sometimes you guys will tune in to, there's lots of really amazing stuff on the Seventh-day Adventist. I went to a Seventh-day Adventist home group for 4 years, loved it. Because I went on Saturday, so I worshipped on Sunday. So I rang my Seventh-day Adventist friend, hey, can I pop along? And they said, sure, Alistair, we'd love you to join our service on Saturday. On the Sabbath, the right day to worship, they sort of put that little thing in. So I worshipped. The best food ever was in the Seventh-day Adventist home group that I was in Kaikoura. Really awesome bunch of people. And so they believe in soul sleep. And so this is one of the verses that they will use. Many of those who sleep in the dust will awake, right? So soul sleeping to everlasting life, for others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. So their view is, the moment if I was to die, no time would pass between the moment I die and that final trumpet. So we all awake at the last minute. If you die, you're just asleep, soul sleeping, and then the trumpet blows and you're awake all at the last end. Some to life, some to death. And they've got a second passage there as well. Not precede those who have fallen asleep, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And there's some other passages, but I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist, so I'm not going to spend my time giving all the passages of Scripture for them. All right? So that's the minority view. Then there's what most Christians have held for 2,000 years, which I also believe based off the Word of God, is that sleeping is a metaphor for being dead, and that if you're a believer and you die, you are with the Lord. So when Catherine died, and I was with her in her room about 40 days ago now, about a month and a bit, I'd been sleeping a lot during the last, I hadn't slept during the last few days, so I was dozing in and out during those last few hours that she was alive. And when my wife, just before she took her last breath, it was almost like someone tapped me on the shoulder and woke me up. I will find out when I get to eternity whether it was an angel who tapped me on the shoulder. You need to be awake right now, Alistair. I woke up and I looked at her, and she took her final breath, and then she went to be with the Lord. The light of her eyes went right then and there. I'm very pleased that I was awoken to be with her. But after she died, she looked like she was asleep. And so the metaphor of being sleeping is how dead people look after they've just gone to be with the Lord. She looked like she's put asleep. But I believe that when she died, her spirit is with the Lord. And for me, these are the verses that I look reason for them at. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So I'm sad for me right now. My life is a lot harder figuring out what to do with a thing called fitted sheets. I didn't even know what fitted sheets were until there's these elasticy sheets that you got. How on earth you fold them is just like a nightmare last night. Anyway, lots of my life is a lot harder now, but Catherine's life is a lot easier. Her death is gain, right? And so if I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ. Yeah, that's what. So to me, when she died, she's with Christ, which is by far better. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. So living in the body or to depart, the spirit departs to be with Christ. Not sleeping, but with Christ. Here's another passage here. Therefore, we're always confident and know that as long as we're at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, right? For we live by faith and not by sight. We're confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Catherine's got a much better gig with the Lord right now than with me, though it's tough on me. And so we make it our goal to please him, whether at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each must receive what is due to us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Home in the body, here on earth, or with the Lord. God's word seems clear to me that when I die, and when you die, if you love Jesus Christ, not just a church entity person, not just coming to a Presbyterian church, not just a member of the Presbyterian church, but you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, that when you die, you will go and be with the Lord in heaven. Jesus gives a story of Lazarus and the rich man. Who's heard of the story of Lazarus and the rich man? When Lazarus and the rich man die, they are not sleeping but conscious. One is consciously happy and one is consciously unhappy, but they are conscious about their reality. And so Jesus said to the thief on the cross who was dying next to him, the one who repented, and Jesus said to him, I tell you today, you'll be soul sleeping. No, I tell you today, you'll be with me in paradise. So the simple belief that we might tell a young child, right? So when I was talking to Jackson, I said to Jackson, Catherine is with Jesus in heaven. Now that might sound to those out there, the sort of quaint little beliefs you tell little kids. No, not for me. This is a biblically grounded hope based off the word of God, the promises of God. And it should give us incredible confidence, wonderful confidence. So Catherine, who died 6 weeks ago, is with the Lord. And Catherine's having an awesome day today, a much better day than I am today. Right? And these are the hopes that we should be grounded with in our reality. And this is Christianity 101. We should know this, we should know the scriptures of why we hold this, and we should have this embedded as part of us knowing Jesus Christ. But let's go a little bit further and push this a bit more. It's good to stretch. So well, then what happens to the believer while they're awake in heaven? Are they aware, for example, what happens to us here on earth? Is Catherine aware of what happens to us on earth? Now, we don't know, lots of details are hidden from us, and speculation can be ultimately unhelpful. So I'm not going to give visions, I'm not giving this sermon on visions and dreams of people in heaven. I'm a Bible teacher, not a vision teacher. So I'm going to give you what the Word of God says and go no further than that this morning. If you want to hear other stuff, you know, Pentecostals, churches can do things like that, and there are some wonderful stories and visions out there which may indeed be true. But this morning, I'm just doing the Word of God here. And so in the story of Lazarus and the rich man, the rich man was aware of his family down on earth. And in Revelation 6, we see an interesting hint of the reality of the believers, of the souls who are awake with the Lord in heaven. And there's stuff here. Let's ponder it. Let's bring it up. All right, so this is Revelation chapter 6. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar of the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. And they called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of earth and avenge our blood? Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed just as they had been. Now, I realize this is probably my best guess. This is probably talking about the saints that have been killed by the man of lawlessness. That's my take of this Revelation passage. But I think we could probably contextualize it to today, that Christians, if they'd been killed in Iran or Northern Nigeria. So they die, and they're in the Lord in heaven, and they're saying, how long will the suffering go on? When will you bring final and complete justice to what happened to us? And while it doesn't say it explicitly there, I imagine they're also talking about, and the suffering my loved ones are going through on earth, they too are being killed for the sake of the name. Right, so think about the implications of this passage. Right, think about it. They carry with them their memories from their time on earth, don't they? Right, they know what happened to them. So when I die, will I be aware of my life here on earth? From based off the scripture, yes, I believe I will be aware. Right, they're aware that they died for the sake of the Christian faith. They are aware of their life journey. They're aware to some extent, and they have some concern for the suffering they went through. Right? I don't think you could read from this text they know what I ate for breakfast. I'm not suggesting that. Or that they're tuning into this morning's message. I suspect they've got much better choices of worship and sermon teaching than St. Andrew's Geraldine. But they are obviously aware of their past, and they have agency to talk to God. Who's heard of the person, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this question? Who's heard people say that? Who's said that themselves? Well, actually, and people say, oh, when you get to heaven, you won't ask questions. Well, I just want to point out, these guys asked questions. They're like, how long, oh Lord? So if you're in that category, you're joining the saints that are actually up there. They have agency to ask God questions. And it's questions relating to justice and the injustice that they suffered here on earth. Right? And so, and of course, what the Lord says with them, they've carried these memories of the injustice and the difficulties they went through here on earth. You know, and they're going and saying, Lord, how long? And the Lord says, I've got a plan. There is so many days of suffering that is appointed for Christians under the sun. There is so many people who are appointed to die for the Christian faith. And then think about that. The Lord may be appointing one of us here in this room to die for the name of Jesus Christ. There are so many that will actually be the full number of those who are martyred. And it could be perhaps one of us. And Faye was praying for North Korean Christians this morning, many of whom are dying every single day for the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord, until the full number is complete. So the Lord is working to a schedule and a timeline here. It's not my schedule and timeline because I'd be sort of wanting to speed the thing up, the process up. But the Lord is working to a timeline. And so there is, you get a whole bunch of hints about what the intermediary state is. They are awake, not asleep. They're talking to God. They've got memories. They're concerned about injustice on the earth. And they're saying, when are you going to come, Lord Jesus, and wrap all of this up? Really interesting insight. But it's not just that. We get another picture as well. All right, so this is to the one who's victorious. I'll give them some of the hidden manna. I'm not sure what that is. But I'll also give that person a white stone. And a new name written on it, known only to the person who receives it. This is really pivotal about the character and nature of God. When I go to be with Jesus, I will be one, I suspect, of billions of believers when I'm in heaven, right? You will be one of billions of believers in heaven. But may I suggest this? Do not ever think for a moment that you are just some cog in the machinery of God's machinery, that you're just another saint. When you stand before God in heaven, he's going to say, Faye, I know something about you that no one else knows. I have a name for you. And that name will reveal things about who you are. No one else on the planet knows something about Faye that the Lord does. But when Faye stands before the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, there will be that name given to her. And so that is, the Lord knows things about you today. He knows intimate things about you. You're not a cog in the machinery, just another saint in heaven. When we go to be with Jesus, we actually are going to be able to see him face to face, and he will reveal things about us. He knows things about us. What a moment of joy that will be. If you do not feel this joy in your heart, then you need to say, Lord, soften my heart and heart this morning. Give me a joy of what awaits me when I go. May I not be in religionity, but in Christianity, knowing Jesus Christ, looking for the eternal hope. And may I suggest finally that we are only given hints of what the intermediate state is or what the final resurrected body is. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has ever conceived. The things that God has prepared for those who love him. He is preparing for you something that your human mind is too infinitesimally small to comprehend. And the moment that you take your final breath and you enter eternity, then that reality will be seen. Catherine, as she was dying, said it was a surreal experience. This is it's not someone else dying, it's me that's dying. And if, you know, she said, in a short period of time, I'm going to be actually with Jesus in heaven. Right? One day, that will be you. It won't be someone else dying. It'll be your turn and my turn. Are you grounded in these hopes this morning? And lastly, the ultimate hope of the resurrection. While the intermediate state will be amazing for the believer, it is not the ultimate end. While this intermediate paradise is far better for the Christian than this futile world, the Bible does not describe it as being the best thing. There is, in some sense, in which our souls will be unclothed, the loss of our physical bodies, 2 Corinthians 5:4. The Bible doesn't describe it in specifics. It may be a heavenly experience for us to be with the Lord, but we will be incomplete until we attain the resurrection of the dead, Philippians 3:11. All right, so Christianity, this is important, is not merely a go-to-heaven-when-you-die religion. It is that. I've made that case. When we die, we go to be with heaven, but it's not merely. Christianity is foremost a resurrection religion. All right, and let me just read this. Forgive me for giving another Bible passage. I shouldn't apologize for giving you lots of scripture, but I want to read this one more to you. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant a body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and each kind of seed gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly body is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon and the stars another, and stars different from star in splendor. So it will be in the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable will be raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it'll be raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. As I saw Catherine die, I saw her body being perishable. Right? Did you see the decline of Catherine's body as the sickness came? Just like food goods perish, just like flowers perish and the green grass perish, and the Bible describes us being like that. I saw her body break down over the months she had cancer, and particularly those last few weeks and days. One day that perishable experience will happen to us. Our minds perhaps become confused. Our bodies start to break down. This is the nature of it. I also saw the weakness being sown in weakness. For Catherine, even the most simplest of tasks became unattainable. She was sown in utter weakness. And sown in dishonor. No amount of funeral directors can hide the reality of death and what death does to my body and to your body. But as she was getting weaker and weaker and as she was perishing, she was looking forward to the day where she would be raised from the dead. Yes, with the Lord in heaven, but one day that earthly body, sown in the ground as dust, is going to be raised imperishable in glory and strength. And this is Christianity, biblical Christianity 101. Do you have this hope today? Do you know this truth? Oh, I pray that you do. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your word. And I pray that every believer here will know the reality of this biblical truth, and that they would have their lives grounded in the word of God. Oh Lord, we look forward to the day that we die to depart to be with you, and we also look forward to the day when the final trumpet is blown, and the dead will be raised, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth with new resurrected bodies. And it is this ultimate hope that we look for as we go about our lives here on earth serving you. In Jesus' name, amen.